This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Michigan legislature has adjourned for the year. The lame duck session included action on an energy overhaul for the state, increasing speed limits on some rural highways, and limiting the use of seclusion and restraints in schools. But some legislation did not win final passage before adjournment, including bills to reform Michigan's criminal justice system. Ken Sikkema served 20 years in the Michigan legislature, including 4 years as Republican Senate Majority Leader from 2002 to 2006. He's now a senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants in Lansing. Ken Sikkema, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be with you, Gordon. Thank you.
You have been a proponent of the criminal justice reforms, which were before the Michigan legislature. So how would you categorize your reaction to this? Are you surprised, disappointed, some of both?
Well, I'm disappointed that these major criminal justice reform initiatives didn't make it all the way through. They are major changes to how we look at criminal justice. They passed one house. Actually, there was a house package dealing with parole reform that passed the House, died in the Senate. Then there was a Senate package that dealt with probation and parole reform that passed the Senate and unfortunately died in the House. And so, yeah, I'm disappointed that they were left on the table. There are a lot of big issues that were left on the table. So the criminal justice package wasn't alone, but, you know, they were ready to be passed. They passed muster in one House or the other. But I think the legislature is going to take them up again in the new session.
There were some bills that passed concerning people who are exonerated of crimes and have spent time in prison. Also, some bills passed regarding indigent defense. Is maybe the political lift a little bit heavier when you're talking about people who have been correctly convicted of a crime, or at least we think so, and what to do with them going forward in terms of sentencing, et cetera?
Well, Gordon, you're right. There were some bills that, you know, kind of nibble at the edges of criminal justice reform that did pass. But, you know, some of these, I think that one of the big heavy lifts here is reform of our parole system. That's the bill that passed the House and died in the Senate. And it's a major initiative. It really does constitute kind of rethinking criminal justice in Michigan. Today, the system is, you know, you have someone who's convicted of a crime gets sentenced by a judge to a minimum and a maximum sentence. And you are eligible for parole when you've served your minimum sentence. That's when you become eligible. And it's up to the parole board to decide whether to parole you or not. What this bill does is it basically says, look, if someone has served their minimum sentence, so you still have what's called truth in sentencing, they don't get out before you serve your minimum, but if they've served their minimum and if they're evaluated properly by the correction system and are judged to be low risk, you presume they become paroled. And that's the big change that this bill would make. And it's done for a couple of reasons. One is it would save a considerable amount of taxpayer dollars. Department of Corrections is estimating that it would probably, over a five-year span, eliminate the need for about 3,200 beds, save $75 million a year of taxpayer money. Secondly, and this is equally as important, is research that's been done around the country, not just in Michigan, but in other states in the last few years, indicates that just keeping low-risk prisoners in prison for longer periods of time doesn't result in more public safety, more community safety. And that's the change in thinking, if you will, over the years. You know, when I was in the legislature and I was a part of this, we particularly in the 80s when kind of drug crimes exploded, we thought just keeping people in prison for longer periods of time results in more public safety. Never really thought about the taxpayer issue. Well, now we're realizing that, no, it doesn't increase public safety. And from a taxpayer standpoint, you know, it just kind of throws money at a problem. So that's the kind of reform that this particular House bill would have made that didn't get through the Senate.
You were quoted in the Gongwer News Service back on December 9th as saying that this was a golden opportunity for the Michigan legislature. So since they've adjourned without passing the bills in this criminal justice reform package, is it an opportunity lost or simply an opportunity delayed?
Well, I think it's going to be an opportunity delayed. The reforms that have been kind of percolating in Lansing in the last session, they're going to come back, in part because the political makeup of the legislature hasn't changed come January. You're still going to have a Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican governor. These reforms, particularly the parole reform, came out of a conservative Republican House, and that political dynamic isn't going to change. So as much as I'm disappointed that these things didn't get all the way through, I'm pretty confident and pretty optimistic that you're going to see them again. The momentum is there. It's one of the few issues, criminal justice reform, it's one of the few issues that have united sort of liberals and conservatives in an era of great political polarization, not just in Michigan, but around the country. And that's why I'm convinced you're going to see them again.
When you look at this package of bills yourself, are you supportive of everything in them across the board? Or are there things in there that you say, well, I could live with that, but it wouldn't be exactly the way I would write it if I were currently in the Michigan legislature?
Well, you know, perfection, Gordon's in the eye of the beholder.
Sure. And rarely achieved in legislation, so.
Yeah. I mean, compromise is the order of the day. You know, anybody who doesn't want to compromise, you know, I would say, you know, the legislature's not a good spot for you because you do have to make compromises. And I'm not just talking about, you know, Democrats compromising with Republicans. Even when you're in a majority, Republicans are today, you got to compromise with other Republicans. You know, it's one of the reasons these bills didn't pass. The House couldn't compromise with the Senate, and the Senate couldn't compromise with the House. And that was a Republican issue, not a Democratic issue. But the big enchilada here, the big one in the room is reform of our parole system and going to this concept of presumptive parole if you're a low-risk prisoner and you've served your minimum sentence. That's the key. That's the one that would save taxpayer money. That's the one that would have the biggest impact.
And are there some reasons, legitimate reasons, that someone on the other side may be hesitant about presumptive parole? I mean, can you understand how, as I understand it, it was the Senate that was a little more reluctant on presumptive parole than the House? And can you understand where the Senate's coming from?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're still, I think, living with kind of the attitude of, you know, let's just be tough on crime, and meaning that, not that we don't want to be tough on crime, but tough on crime for a couple of decades now, three decades, has meant just keep people in prison for a longer period of time to make sure that our communities are safe. We're still living with that sort of definition of what tough on crime means, because sure, nobody wants a paroled prisoner to commit another crime once they're paroled. I think that the difference today is, yes, let's be tough on crime, but let's also be smart on crime. And let's realize that just keeping people in prison, and this is an important caveat, if you're judged to be a low-risk prisoner, just keeping them in prison past their minimum date doesn't improve public safety. Now, on the other hand, Gordon, and this is to your point, you can't guarantee, and you can't today guarantee, that someone who gets paroled or serves their maximum sentence and gets out of prison, you can't 100% guarantee that 100% of those people are never going to commit another crime. But that's true today. You know, 95% of the people in prison are eventually going to come out, and you can't guarantee that today. So why not use the kind of the new research that we have available that generally says low-risk prisoners are best paroled if they've been given the tools inside prison, you know, education, your GED, rehabilitation services, best get them back in the community and be a productive citizen than just languishing in prison. But there's no guarantee, Gordon, on this, and there isn't any guarantee under the current system either.
So you mentioned that you think there is still momentum. Is it your hope, then, that this would get picked up fairly early next year in the legislature, so that, in other words, the momentum does not get lost to 6, 8, 12 months down the line?
Yeah, I think it's because 2018 is, again, an election year and a big one in Michigan because the governor's seat will be up, the Senate will be up, unlike this last year, and the House. Because of that, it's important to get movement on this package of bills early in 2017, because 12 months from now, when the calendar changes from December of 2017 to January of 2018, you're in a pretty big election year. And then it gets tougher because lots of issues get politicized. So for that reason, it's probably important to try to get these bills over the hump within 12 to 15 months.
Ken Sikkema, thank you very much for your time.
Gordon, thank you. Have a great day.
Ken Sikkema is a former Michigan lawmaker. He's now a senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants in Lansing. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.